about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you.
Okay, the subject today is the integumentary system, which is basically our skin. And I'm going to talk about three different functions of the integumentary system, or skin. I'm going to talk about protection. I'm going to talk about temperature regulation. And I'm going to talk about the production of vitamin D. First of all, in terms of protection, I'll say that our skin separates us from the external environment. Everything inside the skin is us, and everything outside is everything else. But in terms of protection, it protects us from abrasion. It also protects us, and very importantly, actually it's our first line of defense as a protection against microorganisms, invasion by microorganisms like virus and bacteria. It also is a protection against ultraviolet light. Temperature regulation. Within the skin are many blood vessels. And blood vessels have a layer of muscle around them. And the muscle allows that vessel to contract. The muscle contracts, the vessel gets smaller. Or if the muscle relaxes, the vessel gets larger. So as an example of temperature regulation, if it gets really cold outside, and your skin gets really cold, and you get really cold, it's important to maintain the warmth for the internal organs at the sacrifice of the superficial levels. So therefore, these vessels, the muscles contract, the vessels get smaller, and the blood is shunted to the inside. Another factor involved in temperature regulation relative to the skin is sweat. We're going to see sweat glands in a little bit here, but certainly when it gets real hot, you sweat. And the purpose of that is the moisture on the outside surface, as it evaporates, cools you down. So it regulates your temperature. Last of the three, the production of vitamin D. When a skin is exposed to ultraviolet light, which I'm not sure that happens that much here in Cleveland, but when it does, it's involved in the production of vitamin D. Vitamin D is actually produced in the liver, but the process starts at the skin. Basically, cells of the skin produce a chemical, 7-D dehydroxy. Cholesterol. 7-dehydroxycholesterol. Hard to say. And when that is combined with ultraviolet light, it makes another chemical called cholecalciferol. Now, cholecalciferol then goes to the liver, and there it is converted into the active form of vitamin D. Vitamin D does a few things, increases blood calcium levels, and has a few other factors, and we'll talk about those in later lectures. Now, in terms of the skin itself, there are three layers of the skin. There's the epidermis, upper, highest portion of it, outermost portion of it. The dermis, largest portion of it, right through here. And below that, the hypodermis. So that involves the integumentary system, or the skin. First of all, I'm going to talk about the epidermis. And the epidermis is composed of five different layers. They're called, you say, five different layers or five different strata, and these are called stratum, so therefore referring to strata or layers. Okay, there's one here, one here, one here, one here, and one here. Now basically, in the stratum basal, this is lower, the base level here, this is where all the cells for all the layers are generated. By mitosis, these cells divide and generate all the cells in the upper layers. What the process is going to be here is cells are born here, divide here, are born here, and they die as they move upward. They become what is called keratinized, okay? The cells of the stratum basal are combinations of cuboidal cells, as shown here, and there can also be columnar cells. And of course, these are epithelial cells. Keratinization, which is the process of cell death as these move up, keratinization is the cells become filled with a product called keratin, and which actually produces keratin fibers even, and those fibers are proteins, and they provide strength, and also again it is a process that is occurring as the cells are dying. It's the keratinization is the transformation of living cells in the stratum basal to the dead squamous cells of the outermost portion of that, the stratum corneum. Okay, so the stratum basal consists of cells that produce keratin, so they're called keratinocytes. And as I say, these cells are actively dividing by mitosis, and therefore, and the whole thing's moving up. So as these cells divide, these cells stay here, but these cells then form, in the process of dying, form these other layers. Which brings us to the next layer, the stratum spinosum. It's several layers of cells held together by desmosomes. We saw that when we saw cell attachments. It's this little protein plaques that that hold these cells together. And process of keratinization is going on here, and again indicated by showing these keratin fibers being filled in here. There's also in the intercellular spaces, there are also lipids or fats. Next layer, moving on up, we come to the stratum granulosum. These cells now become filled with granules. Again, the process of keratinization occurring here, become filled with granules of keratohyalin. Keratohyalin become filled with granules and as such die. So this is the process of death, and the cells above this are going to be, for the most part, dead cells. Next layer, stratum lucidum, consists of layers of dead, now dead, transparent cells. Kind of tapered sort of cells, long and tapered cells. And lastly, we come to the top of the stratum corneum, which consists of many layers of dead squamous cells. Again, those squamous cells, remember, flat plate-like cells, well, these are dead. And at some point, what they're going to do is slough off. In other words, as you do that, you're rubbing away a few of those cells on the outside surface, and again, going to be regenerated from the cells of the stratum basal in a process of manufacture and then continual death until we reach the top. The process of that, of moving from the stratum basal to the stratum corneum, takes about 40 to 60 days, something like that. Okay. Next. Next, let's talk about the dermis, the next layer below that. That's the epidermis, the layer below that. And here's a kind of an interesting slide. This is showing the epidermal layer being attached to the dermal layer. The base of the epidermal layer is a basement membrane. We talked about that before. And it is what attaches the epidermal layer to the dermal layer. I'll point out while we're on the slide, these little ridges here, which are called papilla. Papilla actually literally means a nipple-like projection, of which these are. And as long as this is such a good close-up of this, I'll mention that is why we have fingerprints. It is the pattern of these that gives us fingerprints. Okay, now the dermal layer itself. Itself, again showing here, right in through here, the dermal layer. The consistency of this basically is connective tissue. Those cells that were connected by fibers. It's kind of irregular connective tissue. Those things that have that. In a matter of fact, in a great part, there was loose and dense connective tissue. For the most part, this is loose connective tissue. And again, remember the characteristic connective tissue was there are fibroblast cells in there that produce these fibers, which hold generally the tissue itself in place. Of the dermis. And it's not shown here. This area right up here, this region with the papilla, is called the papillary layer. And the region down here is called the reticular layer. You can also see, I mentioned earlier about the temperature regulation by vessels that can constrict and relax. And here's kind of, we can take a look in here and see the blood vessels that are found within the skin. Lastly, we come to an area of the hypodermal area, the hypodermis down here. And this is basically fat cells. Basically what we have is fat cells. Okay, let's talk about this guy right here, hair. And talk about the growth of hair. The growth of hair is actually just about like we talked about in the epidermis. Down in this region here, which is the hair bulb, cells in the center of that are actively dividing. And then throughout the process, the cells are becoming keratinized or dead, and as they and pushing out the cells being manufactured here, pushing out, and again the hair itself is a collection of dead cells. Okay, hair, there are three parts to it. There is this roundish portion at the base, which is the hair bulb. There is the portion as it goes through the epidermal layer, which is the hair root. And then the part sticking onto your skin is the hair shaft. Hair bulb itself, it produces these cells. As I say, it's produced right in this layer right in here, in the hair bulb right here. And it does so, it produces cells actually in cycles. There is the cycles of either growth or quiescence. The stages of hair growth, or quiescence being the resting stage, but this thing, this growth and resting stage happen in cycles. And at some point, actually enough after enough cycles, the hair itself falls out. In the scalp, it falls out maybe about every 3 years, and then there is a period of regrowth. At least there's supposed to be a period of regrowth, but I guess that doesn't always happen. And on other areas of the body, hair, basically the cycles occur in about a period of 1 to 2 years. Hair color. Hair color is determined by the amount of melanin within the cells. But I'm going to talk about skin color here in a moment, and hair color will follow the same process. Just exactly as we talked about the cells actively dividing here, becoming keratinized as they go up and becoming dead, the coloration of these cells occurs in the same way as it does the cells of the epithelial, of the epithelial tissue. Of the epidermal tissue, and therefore we'll talk about that kind of all together in a moment here. Next, we'll talk about the glands of the skin. One of them shown in this picture right here, which is the sebaceous gland. And the sebaceous gland produces sebum. And sebum is kind of like an oily sort of material, kind of a lubricant. And what it does is provides sebum is provided to the hair shaft itself, to the hair itself. And it kind of lubricates the hair as it grows. And it also makes its way to the surface and gives a certain oiliness to the skin, which provides a certain level of protection in itself. Here, before we get away from this picture right here, in this little cross-section here, I was talking about that down here, these cells are growing and then becoming keratinized or dead as they go up. Right in this blow-up right here, it shows this matrix or this zone in the middle here, the area of growth of where cells are actively dividing. Okay, next, another picture. Okay, that had to do with the sebaceous gland, and there's one other gland involved here, and that is a sweat gland. And we can see the sweat gland in this picture right here. Right here, got a little tube going up to the surface, okay? And basically the sweat gland, particularly during high levels of activity, produces a liquid called sweat. The sweat is produced here, and it makes its way through this tube up to the surface, and you become sweaty. And again, as mentioned before when we talked about temperature regulation, the purpose of sweat is that as it evaporates, it cools you down. Okay, lastly, we'll talk about skin color and hair color too. Okay, the cells of the stratum basal. Here's some cuboidal cells of the stratum basal. What they produce is called melanin. And the melanin is what gives the color to skin. Melanin is packaged then into vesicles called melanosomes. And these melanosomes are then exported from the stratum of the cells of the stratum basal. And they kind of filter on up and are incorporated into cellular structures above, to the stratum spinosum, that level of cells just above the stratum basal, that basal level. That is what gives skin its color. And the same manufacturing process occurs in the bulb of the hair shaft, and therefore also gives those cells their color through melanin and packaged into packages or vesicles called melanosomes. The process being shown here, by the way, I'll mention one more time. In other words, so how do we know which color these are? Well, how is it determined which color these are? It's determined, for the most part, by heredity. And we talked about that before, that all hereditary information is contained within the DNA. The DNA, what it does under it manufactures proteins, of which melanin is a protein. It codes to manufacture the protein. It codes it. And again, the process, and it's so important. The DNA is a sequence of nucleotides, and when we talk about DNA, we'll go into that in length. But a sequence of nucleotides, which is in that sequence, is determined by your genetics or inheritance. From that sequence is manufactured messenger RNA. Messenger RNA goes to the ribosome, which it manufactures the protein. The protein then moves to the Golgi apparatus, shown right here, moves through the Golgi apparatus, getting packaged into vesicles, and in this case then is exported from the cell to the other cells around, and again in that case showing it being exported to the cells of the stratum spinosum. Okay, hard to imagine, but I think that is it. This, by the way, is by far the shortest lecture we have in anatomy and physiology. So kind of off to a small start, but I think off to a good start. So see you next time.
History, don't know much biology, don't know much about a science book, don't know much about the French I took, but I do know that